Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A significant surge in retail inflation has caught the attention of economists and policymakers, with the latest numbers revealing a 13-month high of 3.48% in April 2026. The Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation, or MoSPI, released the Provisional Consumer Price Index, or CPI, data for April 2026, showing that headline retail inflation rose to 3.48% year-over-year from 3.40% in March 2026. What makes this significant is that food inflation accelerated to 4.20% year-over-year, up from 3.87% in March. First, let's break down the key points. The headline CPI stood at 3.48%, with the base year being 2024 equal to 100. Food inflation, also known as the Consumer Food Price Index, or CFPI, was 4.20% year-over-year. Rural inflation was 3.74%, while urban inflation was 3.16%. Some of the big movers in the inflation numbers include tomato prices, which rose by 35.28%, silver jewelry, which saw a whopping 144.34% increase, coconut copra, which was up 44.55%, and gold, diamond, and platinum, which rose by 40.72%. On the other hand, potato prices fell by 23.69%, and onion prices declined by 17.67%. Housing inflation stood at 2.15% nationally. Crucially, despite the rise in inflation, it is still within the Reserve Bank of India's, or RBI, tolerance band of 4% plus or minus 2%. Remember this number, the RBI's inflation target is 4% plus or minus 2%, as set under Section 45ZA of the RBI Act, which is part of the Monetary Policy Framework Agreement of 2016. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CPI is compiled by the National Statistical Office, or NSO, under the Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation, with the base year being 2024 equal to 100, which is a revision from the earlier base year of 2012 equal to 100. The Consumer Food Price Index, or CFPI, is a key component of the CPI. The RBI's inflation target is 4% plus or minus 2%, and the Monetary Policy Committee, or MPC, has 6 members, with 3 from the RBI and 3 government-nominated members, who meet bi-monthly. Now let us turn to another important news item. The Supreme Court has ruled that insulting or intimidating a member of a scheduled caste or tribe inside a private house does not constitute an offence under the Scheduled Castes and Scheduled Tribes, or SC-SCENT, Prevention of Atrocities Act of 1989. The Supreme Court bench, in the case of Gunjan at Girija Kumari versus the state, held that the phrase "place within public view" requires the incident to be witnessable by the public or independent passers-by. A private dwelling, with no public access, fails this test. This ruling restates the principle laid down in the Hitesh Verma versus the state of Uttarakhand case in 2020. The case arose from a 2021 First Information Report, or FIR, in a family property dispute, and the Supreme Court quashed the charges against the family members under the Atrocities Act. And here is something that surprises many students: the SC-SCENT Prevention of Atrocities Act of 1989 was enacted under Article 17 of the Constitution, which abolishes untouchability, and is one of the only fundamental rights that is enforceable horizontally against private persons. The Act was amended in 2015 to add new categories of atrocities, exclusive special courts, and 60-day investigation deadlines. Now, let us look at another significant development. The Union Health Minister and the Agriculture Minister launched the Sehat Mission, which stands for Science Excellence for Health through Agricultural Transformation, a joint convergence platform between the Indian Council of Medical Research, or ICMR, and the Indian Council of Agricultural Research, or ICAR. The Sehat Mission focuses on five priority areas: biofortified crops, integrated farming for dietary diversity, occupational health of agricultural workers, agri-non-communicable disease prevention, and One Health surveillance. This mission aligns with the National One Health Mission, which was approved in 2024. The goal is to target the hidden hunger gap, where people have adequate calories but suffer from micronutrient deficits. The operational architecture of the Sehat Mission includes shared labs, joint cohorts, and common nutrition indices, bridging the silos between ICMR, which is the apex biomedical research body, and ICAR, which is the apex agricultural research body. Note this carefully: the ICMR was established in 1911, and the ICAR was established in 1929. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The ICMR, or Indian Council of Medical Research, is the apex biomedical research body, established in 1911, and it functions under the Department of Health Research, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. The ICAR, or Indian Council of Agricultural Research, is the apex agricultural research body, established in 1929, and it functions under the Department of Agricultural Research and Education, Ministry of Agriculture and Farmers Welfare. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, the Sehat Mission and the One Health approach are significant for UPSC, as they highlight the convergence of health, agriculture, and environment. Now let us turn to another news item. The Securities and Exchange Board of India, or SEBI, has proposed a new framework called Garuda, which stands for Green Channel AIF Rollout Upon Document Acknowledgement. This framework aims to compress the launch timeline for Alternative Investment Fund, or AIF, schemes from 30 days to 10 working days. The Garuda framework proposes that the Private Placement Memorandum, or PPM, be filed through a SEBI-registered merchant banker, and the scheme can be launched upon SEBI's acknowledgement of receipt, rather than waiting for full pre-approval. Public comments have been invited till 1st June 2026. What makes this significant is that the AIF industry's assets under management, or AUM, has crossed 13 lakh crore rupees as of 2025. The aim is to deepen India's AIF market by improving the speed to market. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. AIFs, or alternative investment funds, are privately pooled investment vehicles regulated under the SEBI, or Securities and Exchange Board of India, AIF regulations of 2012. There are three categories of AIFs: Category I, which includes venture, SME, social, and infrastructure funds; Category II, which includes private equity and debt funds; and Category III, which includes hedge funds. Now let us turn to another important news item. The Ministry of Road Transport and Highways, or MoRTH, has modified the Build Operate Transfer, or BOT, framework to allow sovereign wealth funds, infrastructure investment funds, pension funds, and private equity funds to bid for BOT highway projects. Earlier, large institutional funds could only bid for Toll Operate Transfer, or TOT, projects. This move was triggered by four BOT projects worth 22,000 crore rupees failing to attract bids. A modified request for proposal, or RFP, has been issued, with the National Highways Authority of India, or NHAI, having a pipeline of over 31,000 crore rupees worth of BOT projects. The aim is to revive private capital expenditure, or CAPEX, in highway construction and reduce NHAI's debt. Note this carefully: the different risk-sharing models in highway construction include BOT, or Build Operate Transfer, HAM, or Hybrid Annuity Model, EPC, or Engineering, Procurement, and Construction, and TOT, or Toll Operate Transfer. Now, Let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The NHAI, or National Highways Authority of India, is a statutory body under the NHAI Act of 1988, and it functions under the Ministry of Road Transport and Highways. The NIIF, or National Investment and Infrastructure Fund, is India's sovereign wealth fund, established in 2015. Now let us turn to another news item. The National Statistical Office, or NSO, has released the Index of Industrial Production, or IIP, for March 2026, showing a 4.1% year-over-year growth, with the IIP standing at 173.2, up from 166.3 in March 2025. The sectoral breakdown shows that mining output was 166.8, manufacturing output was 169.4, and electricity output was 221.3. The use-based classification shows that capital goods production rose by 14.6%, infrastructure and construction goods production rose by 6.7%, consumer durables production rose by 5.3%, primary goods production rose by 2.2%, and non-durables production rose by 1.1%. What makes this significant is that the capital goods jump reflects a revived capex cycle, driven by private investment. The manufacturing sector has a weight of 77.6% in the IIP, followed by electricity at 8% and mining at 14.4%. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The IIP, or Index of Industrial Production, is compiled by the National Statistical Office, or NSO, under the Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation, with the base year being 2011-12. The use-based classification of IIP includes primary goods, capital goods, intermediate goods, infrastructure and construction goods, consumer durables, and consumer non-durables. Now let us turn to another news item. The Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas has slashed royalty rates on crude oil and natural gas for deepwater, ultra-deepwater, and onshore nominated fields in a bid to revive exploration and reduce import dependence. The new royalty rates include a 5% royalty for the first 7 years for deepwater fields and 10% thereafter. For ultra-deepwater fields, there will be zero royalty for the first 7 years and 5% thereafter. The royalty rates for onshore-nominated and pre-NERP production sharing contract, or PSC, fields have been cut from 20% to 12.5%. The royalty is calculated on the standardized wellhead price. This move is expected to boost exploration and production activities and reduce India's import dependence, which currently stands at around 87% for crude oil. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The royalty regimes in India include the pre-NELP PSCs, the New Exploration Licensing Policy, or NELP, the Hydrocarbon Exploration and Licensing Policy, or HELP, and the Discovered Small Field, or DSF, policy. The Directorate General of Hydrocarbons, or DGH, is the regulator for the oil and gas sector, and the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas, or MOPNG, is the policy lead. Now let us turn to another important news item. International Nurses Day is observed every year on 12th May, the birth anniversary of Florence Nightingale, and the 2026 theme is Our Nurses, Our Future, Caring for Nurses Strengthens Economies. The World Health Organization, or WHO, has released the second State of the World's Nursing Report, which highlights the importance of nurse well-being and its link to macroeconomic productivity. The Indian Nursing Council, or INC, coordinates the national observance of International Nurses Day under the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. India has around 3.4 million registered nurses, according to data from the National Medical Commission, or NMC, and the Indian Nursing Council, or INC. However, there is a wide gap between the number of registered nurses and the active workforce, indicating a structural shortage. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Florence Nightingale, the founder of modern nursing, was born on 12 May 1820 and led the field nursing efforts during the Crimean War. The International Council of Nurses, or ICN, is the oldest international health profession association, established in 1899 and is headquartered in Geneva. The Indian Nursing Council, or INC, is the statutory regulator for nursing education and practice in India, established under the Indian Nursing Council Act of 1947. The National Health Policy of 2017 targets a nurse population ratio of 1:300, which is the WHO norm. Note this carefully, the nurse population ratio is an important indicator of a country's healthcare capacity. In conclusion, these news items highlight the significance of inflation, healthcare, infrastructure, and education in India's development trajectory. The surge in retail inflation, the Sehat Mission, the Garuda framework, and the royalty rate cuts are all important developments that have implications for India's economic growth and human development.